Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for listening to another episode of the Take 6 podcast. I am your host, Hunter Surplus. On today's show, we do our very first Blue Jays only episode. I think this is a good time to do that because Roy Halladay just got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm going to sit down with Callum. We're going to talk about our fondest memories of Roy Halladay, whether or not he should be a Blue Jay, and we give him a little bit of thanks. But before we start, before we get going, just a reminder, go subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, follow us on Twitter at @take_6, and then follow us on Instagram at @take6podcast. It is very much appreciated.
Welcome to the Take 6 podcast.
What up? What's going on, everybody? Today, I am joined by Mr. Callum Wise to talk Roy Halladay's induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Got 84.5% of the votes. Callum, my dude, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well, especially after seeing that our guy, the doc, got in.
The doctor, the surgeon, Roy Halladay. To start this off, we should kind of just go in and take a minute to remember this guy, just in terms of his baseball career. Obviously, he was such a polarizing figure in the Toronto sports scene. He was by far the best Blue Jay during that time. And I think he's probably one of the best pitchers in Jays history, if not the best. If he stayed a couple more years, he probably would have surpassed Dave Steeb as the best Jay of all time. But Cal, what did you love so much about Doc? Because there's no way, as a Jays fan, that you could have disliked this guy.
Oh, of course. I mean, he was during a time where the Jays, first of all, they did not look good. That was the era of the worst logo I think I've ever seen. But also, our team wasn't necessarily that great, but he just brought this energy to the team, especially because he was so good that, I mean, like, you thought you were the best team in the league, like, while this guy was on the mound, because he was just so unreal. Obviously, like you said, if he had stayed, like, a year or two more, he would have surpassed Steve to be the best pitcher of all time for the Jays. But, I mean, what he did for this organization is amazing, and he will be missed greatly.
Yeah, in his time here, he had 148 wins to 76 losses, which is a 66% win to loss percentage, and that's unbelievable. This guy would have started during his peak years, really, right? So from probably 2009, 2002 was his kind of breakout. He was starting about 30 games a year other than 2004 and 2005. And that says something. When you can get that many wins and be that consistent and have a 3.43 ERA, they weren't a horrible team, but I think, when, like you said, it's, you thought this team was so good whenever he was on the mound. He would come in and he'd win 22 games for you in a season where you only won 86. That's not something that a lot of players can say that they do. And I saw some stat where his wins above replacement as a pitcher through, I think it was through 2003 to 2011, so an 8-year stretch, was more than anybody as a pitcher by like 10 points, which is absurd. And it really does show how talented this guy really was. And I want to go back to the point where I said that he's, one of the most polarizing athletes in Toronto. I mean, when you think of the most talented players that you've ever seen wear a Toronto uniform, whether it's Raptors, Leafs, TFC, Argos, whatever it is, like, you think of very few players. And Halladay was definitely right up top there with guys like Matt Sundin, Vince Carter, Josh Donaldson, now Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. And that's a very short list of guys with such a vast history of sports. And, I mean, those are only guys that I've ever seen, right? Like, I wasn't here to see Clark or Sittler, Gilmore, Alomar. But watching this guy was just fantastic. You didn't think that, like, I'm going to go back to what you said once again. You didn't think that you could lose a game when he was on the mound. It was just fantastic. In his breakout season in 2002, he came off of a really tough year. And I think that a lot of guys, especially with baseball being so hard to kind of to make your way through the minors and get up through single A, then double A, then triple A, then actually be a starting player and started pitcher in the MLB, is one of the more difficult things to do in sports. And after his first few seasons, Halladay didn't look very good. And by the time he actually kind of broke out, he was 25, which is, if you look at it now, that's a bit of a late bloomer. And being able to have the career that he did after pretty much starting his career at 25, I think is one of the more impressive things that I've ever seen in terms of a baseball player. Is so, like I said, do you think he's the best Jays pitcher of all time? And like, where do you kind of rank him in terms of, kind of put you on the spot here, like, but where do you rank him in terms of Jays players and Jays history? Like, obviously when you think of the Jays and you think of, you know, players that have played on the Jays, Doc Halliday's got to be one of your first thoughts.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like you said before, we weren't really around for that era of the greatness of the Blue Jays, really. I mean, we kind of lived it a couple of years ago, but we didn't actually win, and they won two back when we weren't really able to watch. So, I mean, obviously those guys on that team are up on that pedestal because they won the World Series for us. But for me, I mean, growing up in the Doc Halliday era, as well as this current era, he's definitely up there. I mean, I've watched previous games with like Steve pitching, seeing how great this guy was. But it's like, you can't take away, like, I just keep watching these clips of Halliday, and he's just so disgusting on the mound that I for me, he's up there probably number one because of how committed he was to this team when he was playing, especially because we weren't the greatest. But I mean, if I had grown up in the era of the big boys like Steve and Alomar and all them, it would maybe be different. It's like the whole LeBron Jordan debate. People growing up watching Jordan, they think he's the greatest of all time. Us watching LeBron think he's the greatest of all time. We can never actually tell who's better because they don't play during the same, like, they don't play at the same time, obviously. So it's hard to really judge who is the best player based on just stats, because stats, they do show like who is amazing, but just watching them like actually play is a whole different thing. And like the energy they bring to the pitch or the ball court or anything like that. So I'd probably rank Halliday as top three for me. Yeah, I'd put him in top three of all time.
I agree. And in terms of like the eye test, right? Everyone talks about stats, this, stats, that, ERA, strikes, whip, hits through nine, home runs through nine, all that kind of stuff. But just purely an eye test, Roy Halladay was one of the best pitchers that the game has ever seen. Realistically, he won two Cy Youngs, one with the Jays. And you could really tell he probably could have won more Cy Youngs had he been on a team that got more wins. Now, he didn't play necessarily with the worst team in the world, right? He wasn't playing on the 2011 Houston Astros or anything like that. But I think a big part of what Roy Halladay did was he just brought confidence to a team that probably without him shouldn't have had any. Like, Vernon Wells was the biggest guy that was playing during Halliday's career with the Jays, and like an old Carlos Delgado. Like, he was never playing with some of these guys. And you see pitchers like nowadays, Steven Strasburger, Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, they're all on really, really, really good teams. And they're able to dominate at that level But when you're able to dominate and come in and win games 1-0, 2-1, 3-1, you have all the confidence in the world from not only the fans, not only your team, the media, everybody in the game is kind of scared to play you because they know, all right, we got to get on him early. If we don't get on him early, he's going to strike 15 of us out in the span of seven innings and we're done and we're going to be done. So I had this question put up here. Like we talked about, he is one of the best Jays of all time. He's one of the best Jays pitchers of all time. And so I was going to ask you, is he going to be immortalized as a Blue Jay? But just before we came on, just before we started this conversation, his wife, Brandi Halliday, came out and said he's not going to represent any team. And now you got to respect that decision. He's not around to make the call. Obviously, she doesn't want to make the call for him. You could put an argument for both sides. No doubt about it. But if you were to persuade Brandi Halliday, why would you say that Halliday should be a Blue Jay for life in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, like you said, I respect her decision, obviously not wanting people to fight over her late husband because he did a lot for both teams. But I mean, we're kind of biased here because we're Toronto fans, but I feel like he meant more to our franchise because of how not poorly, but just not as good as the Phillies were when he went there. I mean, obviously he had a postseason no hitter with the Phillies, which is unbelievable. Like that's so hard to do. But I feel like there's so many more fans who love him in Toronto, I feel like, than they do in Phil. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like he meant more to the Toronto Blue Jays than he did to the Phillies just because of like the impact he left on our franchise.
I agree. And one of the things that was kind of when was floated around in 2016 when he came back for a trip to Toronto. I'm not exactly sure what it was, but and he had said it multiple times when the Phillies had come to Toronto or Toronto had gone to the Phillies. And I remember an interview where Barry Davis asks him if, and by this point, you know, he was guaranteed a slot in the Hall of Fame. By the time he was on the Phillies, he was pretty much guaranteed a slot in the Hall of Fame. And by the time 2016 rolled around, everybody knew that it was going to happen just when. You know, they just had to wait until 2019 to do it. So anyways, they asked him the question, who out of the two teams would you like to go in as? Because you're bound to go in, right? If you had the luxury to be in there. And he said that he would no doubt want it to be the Jays. And I think that's very telling, right? Even before he ended his career with Philly, while he was on Philly, he remembered the time that, you know, the Jays gave him that chance. And the Jays were able to kind of bring him up and raise him to the pitcher that he was. And obviously, you know, that's easy to say because the first, you know, 12 years of his career were with the Blue Jays. But if you think about it, his biggest stats aren't as a Jay, right? Like two of his best seasons, his two best seasons arguably are with the Phillies. I think his most memorable moment is with the Phillies. Threw a perfect game with the Phillies, threw a no-hitter in the playoffs with the Phillies. Meanwhile, he never even made the playoffs with the Jays, right? So in terms of team accolades, and a lot of guys say, right, like if I'm going to go into the Hall of Fame, and I win, you know, one Stanley Cup or I win one World Series and I make it into the Hall of Fame, usually they go into the Hall of Fame with the team where they did more, right? And so I think that's the argument that's being made for the Phillies. And I think that's where Brandy's coming from, because if he hadn't made it to the playoffs and he didn't throw that no-hitter in his first playoff game, then I don't think there's even an argument. He doesn't throw that perfect game. There's no argument. But since the team accolades were there and two of his best seasons were there, he won a Cy Young in Philly. I think that's that's what's holding it back from being a no-doubted Jays Hall of Famer. But like I said, he said he wanted to play. His stats as a Jay were phenomenal. You know, I think the, like you said, the whole emotional appeal for the Jays is more there than it was for the Phillies. But going back to, I mentioned it a couple seconds ago, but going back to that Jays or the Phillies no-hitter that he threw in his very first playoff game. How big, I don't know if you'd watch that game, but how big of a moment was that for Halliday's career? Like, I think that solidified him as a fantastic player. I mean, he was already solidified as a fantastic player, but I think this solidified him. As soon as it happened, it kind of gave him that Hall of Fame mentality and Hall of Fame status right after that game. Did you watch that game, first of all?
No, I didn't.
No? Okay. Well, anyway, I urge you to watch the oral history of it. I watched the oral history of it from the MLB Network a couple days ago. And it's fantastic. Like, you, I didn't realize how, like, when I was younger, I mean, like, I played baseball growing up and stuff, right? And I knew how hard it is to hit a baseball and how difficult it is to be in the majors and hit a 95 mile an hour fastball with movement. And then he throws that sinker, that cutter, that curveball. And he played the best hitting team in the league that year and threw a no-hitter. And to be completely honest with you, I think that that's probably my favorite non-Toronto sports moment, like, in sports history. I think that has to be my number one, both because Halliday was, you know, such a big player for the Jays and the whole emotional connection I had with him, but also it was his first ever playoff game. And that's probably one of the most impressive things that anybody's ever done. There's only been two no-hitters thrown in postseason history in the MLB, and Roy Halladay does it on his first one. And right after that, I thought that they were going to win the World Series, and I regretted him being traded immediately. I regretted it immediately. As soon as I did it, I was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that has ever happened to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he had something to prove going into that game, though. Just like, because I bet you everyone's saying, oh, he hasn't been in the playoffs for so long, he's going to choke, and he probably heard all this, and he just, he's like, nah, I'm the doc. I'm going to come in here and do what I do best. And then he threw a no-hitter, which was insane. I'm definitely going to watch the full game now after this, though.
Yeah, even just like the oral history is just like fantastic, because some of these guys say after the first inning, they're like, I don't know if anyone's ever, like, I don't know if anyone's going to touch the ball. And that's how polarizing, that's how great Halliday was. Everybody knew it, right? It was hard to see when he was on the Jays because, you know, 20 wins is 20 wins, and that's fantastic. And a Cy Young is unbelievable. But if you're on a team like the Phillies, who's actually playing meaningful baseball at the end of the year, you're going to be the talk of the town, realistically. And they had a good pitching staff, and he was by far the best on that pitching staff. You know, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, those guys aren't chumps, and even they realize that, man, this guy's our ace.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, dude, so I think that should be it. Is there anything else you wanted to point out? Any last Roy Halliday Hall of Fame words you wanted to talk about?
There's so much we could say about this guy, but just thank you for everything you did for this franchise, and rest easy.
Yes, I think that's a good way to end it off. Callum, great time talking to you, and Roy, an even better time watching you as a Blue Jay. Congrats to that family for being able to celebrate such a fantastic guy. So I think we'll end there.